When it comes to my policy, Farmers gives it to me straight, so there's no surprises.
It's your coverage. You should never be confused.
You hear that? An insurance provider with a conscience.
We're a choir, but yes, we have that too.
Straightforward coverage you can literally understand. That's what you get when
you have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the High School Football Podcast, talking about some high school football playoffs. A little playoff preview here for you. Braden Suprenant, Jeff King. A little bit of technical difficulties with the last one, but now we're fired up and off and running. Jeff King, my co-host, got to be a junior college teacher today. Is that right? Taught a little basketball today. What's going on? What's the background story on that?
Yeah, I'm an adjunct professor at Miramar College. And nice. So I have a couple classes, but I substituted basketball today. Normal teacher was out on a tournament or something, so they called me off the bench, and pretty chill. Just, you know, about four or five of us, so we played a little, you know, 21, did some one-on-ones, and showed the young bucks that, you know, still got a little left in the tank, man. So, and I walked away with no sprained ankles and no sore hips or anything. So went on multiple fronts.
How does a how does a basketball class work though, Jeff?
Oh, it's pretty chill, man. Like, you basically warm them up in however you want to, and then basically just kind of roll out the ball and be like, hey, let's play. Now, typically, I imagine in a normal setting, you probably go over a couple drills, but I was instructed to just let them have fun and play, and that's what I did. And it was a small class. I did this last year, and last year it was about 10 or 11 guys, so, you know, we can run full court. This year is only four, so it was just 21, and, you know, having fun with them and, you know, playing some basketball. So I got an extra workout today.
Yeah, that's pretty
cool. Can't beat that.
That's pretty cool. So it's kind of like, it's like almost like coaching like a team and doing a pickup game. And, you know, even though you're not really on a team or whatever, but that's pretty cool. I almost took a bowling class in college. It didn't work out in my schedule because I was doing a lot of stuff for the football team. But my sister actually did a bowling class.
Really?
Yeah, she did a bowling class. I mean, you know, if I had a lot more time on my hands, I'd be able to do some of those classes. I bet you a golf class would be great. That'd probably actually be a major benefit to your long-term success on this planet. If I took a couple of golf lessons, I'd be a lot better at it. But I digress on the sports there. I know you're that's where you're coming from. But I want to dive into the playoffs. This will be our playoff preview when it comes to San Diego High School football. And we'll kind of go through it and pick some games and you know, project who we think we're going to win each division and who might be a dark horse for each division as well. We're going to say the open for last just because they don't play this week anyway, and there's only four teams, and that usually is the main event. So overall, San Diego High School football got all the brackets out. I thought, you know, I thought it was kind of a it was kind of a joke that we had to wait until Sunday to get the brackets out. I know a lot of coaches were upset with that. I agree with them. There's no reason there's no justifiable reason why the brackets had to come out on Sunday because of one game played on a Saturday that could have been played on any other day during the week that held everybody up. So from that perspective, I think CIF needs to do a better job of making sure all the brackets are out Saturday morning so teams can trade tape and they could properly prepare. Not to say that there's not going to be teams properly prepared on Friday, but the fact that one game kind of held everybody up, and, you know, I know there's a lot of, you know, I like to use the term politics for, you know, different things that have to happen that are really out of the control of coaches. But there's no reason why the playoff seedings needed to wait till Sunday afternoon to be announced. I don't know if you were able to see that and have a take on that, Jeff.
I didn't see that. That's interesting. Is there I mean, I know you said it didn't make sense, but what is their, what would you think their reason or logic would be?
Well, there was one game left was the thing. So Christian had to play La Jolla, and because of, you know, they're using the ref shortage as, you know, kind of an excuse. And you know, we had Joe Hines on the John Katara show earlier this week. He kind of talked about it, but you know, he kind of gave like a typical CIF answer, which is fine. I mean, that's what he's supposed to do. No, but overall, it's like, you know, the excuse was, well, we had one game on Saturday that had to be, you know, had to be played, you know, which I don't think that, I mean, the last week needs to be almost like Major League Baseball. Everybody's playing at the same time. And I know with the ref shortages, yeah, you got to get games in on Thursday. That's fine. You know, play games on Thursday, but, you know, you shouldn't have any Saturday night games the last week of the season. So that's one thing.
Yeah,
the other thing they said was like, it, you know, and I think this is kind of a BS answer. Coach was talking, Coach Quintero was talking to one of the, you know, former CIF administrators and was like, he was like, well, you know, it gives us time to fully be able to make sure the bracket is set right with all the facts. I'm like, dude, are you kidding me? You take it from Max Preps, you see what it says. You flip teams that one head to head, and you move on. It's not that complicated. It's not that deep. Get the thing out on Saturday.
Yeah.
So I didn't really get that. That's my only really gripe about this. I mean, overall, you know, we've talked about playoff formats before. If you want to, you know, if you want to dial into to what Jeff and I have come up with for a new playoff format, that's on our last podcast episode we had. It was a couple of weeks ago, but it was our last podcast we actually did. And so I was coaching a game last Thursday during our podcast time. Overall, I thought you know, the seedings are fine. I think Cal Preps determining the playoffs is probably the best way to go. I've been a big advocate for that in years past. I'm still a big advocate for that. And you know, we'll see how this plays out. This is the first year, Jeff, with a Division 5 AA. So they split Division 5 in half to give other schools in Division 5 that wouldn't normally win a championship have an opportunity to win a championship. So D5 has 8 teams seated in it, and then Division 5 AA has an additional 6 teams in it. So 14 teams in D5 ended up making the postseason. You know, I understand to an extent what they're trying to accomplish, but I think it goes along the lines of what we were talking about before. I think too many teams make the postseason, and I'm sure there's coaches that would argue with me. My response every time would be, even right now, the way I schedule my format, I think you have to have at least 4 wins in order to make the playoffs. The school I currently coach does not have 4 wins, so in that format, we would not make the playoffs. And, you know, I wouldn't overly be upset about that because, you know, you win 3 games. I mean, you're just not really having that great of a season. But I digress on that. Again, if you want to talk about playoff format, we can talk about that later. But there's 6 teams in Division 5 AA. It's the bottom half of Division 5. Holtville got the 1 seed. They got a bye. Army-Navy Academy got the 2 seed. They also got a bye. It was filled in. The Rock Academy made the playoffs at the 4 seed. They will play Maranatha Christian with an opportunity to play Holtville. Rock Academy and Maranatha Christian will play this week. Calipatria and Tri-City Christian. Tri-City Christian is the 3 seed. Calipatria is the 6. And I already mentioned Army-Navy is the 2, so the winner of that game will play Army-Navy. In terms of Cal Preps, they don't even have Division 5 AA on here. So they were not informed about the new format for San Diego High School football playoffs. But based on the you know, the Cal Preps rankings, Holtville obviously would be the favorite in this particular bracket. And then I think Army Navy's got a pretty good chance, Jeff, when it comes to competing in Division 5 AA. They had a pretty good year. They kind of ran into a buzzsaw midway through the year, but they got a lot of big dudes. You know, for a school that's very small, and I think that's going to pay dividends here in the postseason.
Weren't you high on Army Navy? Wasn't that your like?
Yeah, I thought they're
team, and then they proceeded to lose you.
I did. I did curse them when they played some schools that were way bigger than them. But like in terms of division size, but they're pretty good. I mean, they climb the ladder pretty quickly. They got some decent sized kids, you know, for Army Navy standards. So I think that's going to play in a Division 5 AA. I don't want to spend too much time on Division 5 AA, but you know, they got a playoff thing. We got to talk about it. But overall, I mean, I would imagine that Army Navy Academy and Holtville will probably make it to the final there. Army Navy Academy finished the season 7-3. Holtville 7-2. This will not have to be played out in the desert, at least I don't think. So Army Navy and doesn't have to deal with having to play Holtville out in Holtville. But that would be the only thing for me. So there's only seven. They only have eight teams in Division 5 AA, and six of them made it. And two of them did not. So we'll see how that plays out. I don't want to spend too much time on Division 5 AA. On to Division 5 playoffs. Again, I'm picking Army Navy in Division 5 AA. On to Division 5, an 8-team bracket. Vincent Memorial usually has a pretty decent team in D5. Got the number one seed. They decided to take 8 teams out of 12 in Division 5 as they split the two divisions this year. And Vincent Memorial got the one seed, followed by, and they'll play Valhalla, the 8 seed. Hoover's the 4, Monte Vista's the 5, Kearney's the 6, El Cajon Valley's the 3, Southwest El Centro's the 7, and Sweetwater is the 2. Vincent Memorial is definitely the favorite to win D5. And then I would consider Monte Vista being a little bit of a dark horse. Well coached by Ron Hamamoto. I think El Cajon Valley's had a pretty good season. I think they have the opportunity to win it. And of course, you know, Sweetwater coming in as the 2 seed is definitely something to look at as well. In terms of their overall games, we'll get into that to a second, but you know, just kind of looking at Division 5, you know, it's hard to say that somebody other than Vincent Memorial probably win this thing. Get to the games here in the first round. Valhalla and Vincent Memorial play at Southwest El Centro. Again, Vincent Memorial, they play their games over at Southwest El Centro in out of town. Vincent Memorial is projected to win 31-14. I'll take Vincent Memorial in that game. I think they handle Valhalla. Game 2 is Monte Vista at Hoover. It will be Monte Vista the 5 seed against Hoover the 4 seed. Hoover's had a pretty good year as well, done a great job, and they currently are projected to win 38-31, as much as I think Monte Vista is the dark horse potentially in this one. I still think Hoover probably wins this game. El Cajon Valley will take on Kearney at El Cajon Valley. It's expected to be a 7-point game, and so I think in favor of El Cajon Valley. I think they win that one, so I'm thinking pretty much is going to be chalk here in Division 5 with Southwest El Centro traveling out to Sweetwater. Sweetwater is expected to win 38-17. I like Vincent Memorial to win this division, and Monte Vista and Hoover, I think, will give Vincent Memorial a good run for their money. If we got anything else on that, Jeff. All right, so he's still muted. We're going to get to Division 4 here. And if you look at Division 4, interesting playoff format here because it's Mount Miguel and it's everybody else. Mount Miguel, number one seed in Division 4. They are definitely the top team in Division 4. And I think it's going to be very difficult for anybody in Division 4 to be able to knock off Mount Miguel. Mount Miguel has a CalPreps rating of 17. The next highest CalPreps rating is Chula Vista at -4.7. Mount Miguel went 9-1. Their only loss is to Bishops. That is considered a bad loss, according to CalPreps. Chula Vista got a pretty good win against La Jolla Country Day this year. They went 48-26. Their bad loss is to Sweetwater, coming out of D5. But I think it's going to be very difficult for Mount Miguel to lose. There's not a lot of schools in here, and I'll go through the seeding real quick, that I think could get Mount Miguel. And, you know, if you look at it, Mount Miguel got the one seed. Chula Vista got the 2, Westview got the 3, Santana the 4. 8-9 matchup, winner plays Mount McGill. It's Calexico and Escondido. Crawford got the 5 seed. They'll play Orange Glen. Orange Glen ends up winning the Valley League. At least they got the highlight on their deal, so they'll be hosting that first round game. Bonita Vista will take on Coronado as the 6-11 matchup, and Olympian will play Escondido Charter with a trip to Chula Vista for the winner. We'll get to the first round matchups in just a little bit, but we get Jeff back on here as a speaker. I think we got Jeff back.
Hello?
There we go.
Oh, okay. I don't know what's going on, but I'm glad I'm back.
All right. So we talked about D5 for a little bit. Let's talk about D4.
Yes, sir.
I went through it. Mount McGill got the 1 seed, and I'll kind of repeat it. They're far and above better than everybody else in terms of the CalPreps rating system. 2 seed is Chula Vista. 3 seed was Westview. 4 seed, Santana. 8-9 matchup was Calexico Escondido. Winner plays Mount McGill. Crawford and Orange Glen. Winner will play Santana. That's the 5-12 matchup. Bonita Vista Coronado, 6-11, will take on the 3 seed Westview. Escondido Charter Olympian, the 10-7. Winner of that will take on the 2 seed Chula Vista. If you look at it, I mean, I said it already, I think it's going to be very difficult for somebody to beat Mount McGill. They're the above and beyond favorite in this matchup. Is there anybody else you like in Division 4?
To beat Mount McGill or even give them a run, I really don't. I mean, we talked about it at the beginning of the year, or probably about 3 games in. We thought Mount McGill would go into the playoffs undefeated, and then they had the hiccup. Who did they lose to?
They lost to Bishops 24-13. That's considered a bad loss by CalPreps.
Yes. So from that standpoint, we didn't expect that to happen, but they kind of, after that, they kind of, you know, went back to where they were, which is dominating fashion. So, I mean, if I had to pick, you know, maybe a Bonita team, you know, might be a little sneaky. You know, Westview is much improved last year. You know, I think Westview can actually get to the finals against Mount McGill, but I just don't think anybody has the horses to keep up with this team. I mean, they're averaging 45 points a game and have 4 shutouts. So, you know, I'm with you, man. I think Mount McGill will cruise, you know, through and get their first division title in, for, I think it's 1960, which is pretty crazy to think. But Coach V's done a great job, and, you know, I expect him that he'll finish the job and get a D4 title.
I'd imagine so, too. The 2 seed Chula Vista, Jeff, played Mount McGill this year. So that's the 1 seed versus the 2 seed, technically, in Division 4. The final score is Mount McGill won 49-0.
Yeah.
So, I mean, unless, you know, things can happen in a high school football game, but, I mean, you're going to need probably your best game if you want to beat Mount McGill, and they're going to have to, like, you know, overlook somebody.
Yeah.
I think Westview's not bad. I think they're pretty good. I think for what they've been in the last 10 years, that's a pretty good season for Westview. Went 6-4 in the Valley League. You know, their losses were to Oceanside, who had a much better year this year than they had in years past. They lost the Battle of Penasquitos. I'm sure it's got an actual name. They lost to Mount Carmel by 7, which is a little bit better than they've done in the past. They lost to San Pasqual by 1 point, which is not bad for Westview. And, you know, their tough loss was to Valley Center. But Valley Center had a share of the league title this year, as they had a 3-way tie between, I think it was Valley Center. It was Valley Center, San Pasqual, and Oceanside, if I'm not mistaken. I have to look at it again, but. I think Westview's pretty good. Santana, an okay year. They got moved up to the Grossmont Hills League, so they've seen a lot of tough competition this season. So that might be a team that based on their strength of schedule, they might be able to pull it out. In fact, in Division 4, they had the toughest strength of schedule out of any school in Division 4. So maybe Santana might be able to go on a run in the Division 4 playoffs. But overall, I'd imagine it's going to be Mount McGill in the driver's seat. We got 4 games coming up tomorrow that involve Division 4. Escondido's at Calexico. Calexico is expected to win 21-20 coin flip game. I'm going to go with Calexico because of the travel in that one. I don't know who you got on that. I'm going to take Calexico.
I will take Calexico on that, my man.
Yeah, those are tough for high school kids to do. Those trips are pretty tough. I've been a part of it before. And, you know, especially schools that aren't used to traveling very far distances. Escondido to Calexico, California is a haul. Ooh, that is a haul. That will be happening tomorrow afternoon. Crawford will be at Orange Glen. I'm pretty sure Orange Glen won their league, which means they got to be into the postseason as the 12 seed. So 5 seed Crawford is the road team against Orange Glen. I don't know how much of a factor that's going to be. Crawford's expected to win 42-20 according to Cal Preps. I will take Matt Marquez and company and the Crawford Colts, my grandparents' alma mater, Crawford Colts, over the Orange Glen Patriots. So we'll see how the Colts do, but I got the Colts. I don't know if they cover the 22 points. They might, but they got a 92% chance of winning.
Quick question, because you talked about home field and stuff. How would you rate or weigh home field in high school compared to college and pro? Like, is it negligible? Like, is it really not matter at all? I mean, because, you know, talent is talent in high school level. I mean, obviously, like, Carlsbad going to whatever LCC, like, does it matter in your – let's just take the big schools. I imagine when there's a big mismatch, not really a good deal. But do you think, like, Grossmont, let's say it's like Grand Hills and Helix, where was that game played at?
I think it was. I mean, in that game, it doesn't matter. They've won like 30 years in a row or something ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but overall, you know, you've been around high school football. Does home field mean anything?
I don't know. John Maffey comes on our show on Fridays, and he usually says it accounts for like 7 points. I think that's what like coaches go by. So when you show up on a road, you're already down 7-0. I'm trying to think of my time. My time at Cathedral, like as a coach and a player, we've always just not played well on the road. So that could be it. Maybe it's a road thing. I think a little bit of travel for high school kids might be a factor. I think it depends who you're playing, but I do know, like when you go out of town, it's definitely a factor. You know, we played up in San Francisco this year against the St. Ignatius team. That's not very good. And we had our worst game on JV, but we asked sophomores in high school to wake up at 5 a.m. and jump on a plane at 7 a.m. and fly to San Francisco and do all of this stuff and then go play a football game at 3:30, which is very difficult to do. I think if we play that game at home, I think we beat St. Ignatius by like 3 touchdowns. You know, that's from the JV perspective. Now, from the varsity perspective, we ended up losing by a touchdown. I think that was a factor. I mean, you know, our kids are kicking off at 7 o'clock. They've been up since 5 a.m. again, because they had to catch a 7 a.m. flight to San Francisco. I think, you know, planning on that, obviously it's difficult with what you have to do in terms of pulling a travel plan off like that. But when we travel out of town, you know, There is a lot of home cooking for teams in Southern Section, and that's for any school that travels out. It's not just Cathedral, so I think that plays a little bit of a factor. But I think when it comes to in town, as long as it's not like a super far travel distance, I don't think it's that big of a deal. But I could be wrong. I mean, there could be some coaches that view different on that. But you know, for me, when we play in town, like when we go play at. So we play at Torrey Pines, it's down the street. I mean, I don't really think that is that much of a factor. You know, I don't think Torrey Pines has an edge at home over Cathedral, and Cathedral has a bigger edge at home over Torrey Pines when they meet, just because they're down the street. But like, you know, it might be a factor if El Camino's got to go play at East Lake, which they've done for a couple of times. You know, maybe the score is a little bit closer than it should be or whatever. I will say this. I mean, the one time that we were able to beat Centennial, they had to come down here. So, I mean, maybe that was a factor. You know, we went up to play De La Salle with our state championship team and lost by three touchdowns up there, and then they came down here and they weren't nearly as good last year. And, you know, so maybe that was a factor, and we played them at home and lost them by 7 points, and we weren't very good last year. So, you know, maybe it is a little bit of a factor. I don't think it's too much though. Are you asking that because Orange Glen gets to get the home game over the five seed?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it doesn't seem like it will matter, but just from a optic standpoint, that's just bad. I mean, you have a 12 seed hosting the five. I mean, it's kind of like the NFL, right? Where you can have a wild card team, or the team wins the division, right? They're 8-8 or 9-7. They're hosting an 11-5 team. You know, just from an optic standpoint, I was just, doesn't look right. But, you know, I understand how that plays out. But so it just made me think of that, because obviously I think Orange Glen will lose and Crawford will have no problem. But that's what made me think of it.
Yeah, that's happened before in the past. I mean, I think me, so like the reward of winning your league, you automatically get a home game in the first round of the playoffs. I mean, I think, you know, winning your league should get you in the playoffs, but at that point, once you get in, then it should be seeded properly. I mean, that's kind of how I view it, especially if you're doing everything on CalPREP's ratings. I mean, what is Orange Glen? I mean, what is Orange Glen winning the, what are they, in the Pacific League? Like, what does winning the Pacific League have to do with anything? I mean, like, Crawford's in a way different league. Like, it's different. You know, exactly. So
yeah, totally agree with you on that.
I don't. I mean, I get it, and then I don't. I mean, because most of the time, it's usually not a problem, right? So, like, Lincoln wins the Western League. You know, they're already going to be a top seed. You know, the winner of the Grossmont Hills League was Granite. They're already going to be like a top seed. You know, but like if you look at the Open, like Carlsbad won their league, Lincoln won their league, Granite won their league. Not all of them could have a home game, so. You know, it doesn't apply to the Open, but it applies to everybody else. I mean, just it should just be able to get you into the postseason.
Agreed.
Moving on to the other games, that Coronado will play Bonita at Southwestern College. Bonita is expected to win 28-14. I'll take Bonita in that game. Escondido Charter at Olympian. Olympian is expected to win 24-14 over Escondido Charter. I like Olympian in that game.
Agreed. I'm with you on that one, man. Olympian gets the win.
Yeah, the thing that's like, I wouldn't say it sucks because it means it's right, but you know, CalPREPS is 85. They have an 85% accuracy rate right now. I mean, just stupid rate. It's on their website. They're bragging about it, which is, you know, it's justifiable. I mean, if you are accurately picking 85% of the games in the country, I mean, I'd puff my chest out about that as well. But when it's, you know, it's an 85% success rate, which means you're getting seeds right. I mean, you're not really picking upsets ever because like the computer already knows who's going to win unless something crazy happens. So far we've been chalk in our kind of predictions when it comes to the playoffs.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at Division 3. Mission Bay had a pretty good year. Man, they deservedly got the number one seed in Division 3, and Mission Bay finished the season. I'm going to pull up their deal. They did have an upset loss, and their Crawford was able to get Mission Bay at the end of the year, which is kind of surprising. But if you look at D3, Mission Bay went 7-3 to get him a number one seed in D3. Fallbrook got the two seed. They went 4-6 this year on the season, but they had a nice little rating of a 4.9. West Hills got the 3 seed, and Grossmont got the 4 seed. And, you know, I think we've had a lot of coaches, you know, get some praise for turning programs around. It's tough to praise a team, you know, in Grossmont that went 5-5, but last year they went 0-10. The year before that, they went 1-9. So Anthony Lawrence in his first year at his alma mater, a nice little flip around. Regardless of what the schedule is, you got to be able to win games, and you know, he played them into a D3 first round bye, which is good to see. And hopefully they can get themselves back up to D2 and D1 where they belong in the next couple of years. But overall, again, Mission Bay's the one seed, Fallbrook the 2, West Hills the 3, Grossmont the 4. 5-12 matchup, Santa Fe Christian versus San Diego High. Winner will play Grossmont. It's another situation where San Diego High won their league, so they get the home game against Santa Fe Christian. So Santa Fe Christian will have to go down to Balboa Stadium to take on the Cavers. Winner of that will play Grossmont. La Jolla Country Day was the sixth seed. They play Morse tomorrow, and the winner of that will play West Hills. Valley Center plays Imperial. Winner of that will play Fallbrook. It's a long drive from Valley Center to Imperial. That is a haul. We're talking about long hauls. And then Patrick Henry will play El Cap. And I think that game's might be a coin flip game, but we'll see when it comes to the overall prediction from Cal Preps. So, taking a look at it, I think Mission Bay's got a really good chance. I think Grossmont might be a dark horse in this with the season that they've had and the competition that they've played. So I like Grossmont to kind of be a dark horse in this league, followed by Mission Bay kind of being the favorite.
Yeah, Mission Bay comes in the game or comes into the playoffs with two straight losses, right? I believe.
Yeah, they lost to Crawford, which is considered a bad loss, and they lost to Scripps Ranch by 7 to finish the year.
So interesting to see how they respond after that. I mean, you never want to go in the play. You always want to go to playoffs peaking, so and never want to go in on a losing streak. Now they get the bye to kind of regroup, but mentally, emotionally, how is this team going to respond after losing a couple games, especially with the bad loss, like you said, the Crawford? So I'm going to be curious about that and see if they – I still would give them a slight edge, but, just on the way out of the end of the season, I wouldn't be totally shocked if someone else was able to knock them off or we had a different representative for Division III.
You had yourself a bid stealer in D3 too, by the way, San Diego High. So not only did San Diego High get a whole – like they won their league, which means they get to qualify for the playoffs and host the game. They actually finished in 14th in Division III according to Cal Preps, which means they stole a bid from Otay Ranch, who was ranked higher than them, who went 2-8. If you're Otay Ranch, you go 2-8. It's, I think at the same – like I'm sure you're upset you didn't make the playoffs and you got sniped, but at the same time it's like – San Diego High went 4-0 in league. They won their league, regardless of who was in their league. And they went 4-0. They had a better record than you. So they steal that final spot. But there were bid stealers out there, like you see in March Madness, Jeff.
Yes, I like it.
I think San Diego High deserves to make the playoffs again, right, for winning their league. But, like, should they be able to host over Santa Fe Christian? Are we giving too much to a league champion?
I agree. I think we are, because all league champions are not created equal, right? And I think we have to use some discretion there and some judgment. Like, look, yes, we want to reward teams. I think winning league is not an easy task, no matter what league you are in, but it's not all equal. So, Carlsbad winning their league is going to be different than other, smaller schools winning their league. So I think it shouldn't be automatic where you win league, you automatically host a playoff game. I just don't think that should be the case, and we should reward the teams who've had the best records, have the best power ratings. That should be your reward. You have a power rating that's higher than Team B or whatever, you should get the host
home. And on top,
and I think,
go ahead.
No, you're good.
Well, on top of that too, you said not all leagues are created equal. I will say this too: it's not like the leagues are based on your division. Like, you're playing against your division. Like, there's a lot of leagues where, divisions are, you have some disparities in there. Where it's like, if you're playing in, San Diego High is in the lowest, they're in the lowest league in the city section. They're in the Central League. So they're playing against D4 and D5 schools, whereas, Mission Bay is in the City League, which is a higher league than the Central League in terms of overall numbers. So if San Diego High was in the City League, they probably wouldn't have made the deal. They probably wouldn't have went 0-4. I mean, I'm sure they would have won a couple games or something, but it's a lot difficult of a task. So unless the leagues are built on the same team, like teams from the same division, I don't think you could give them a home game on top of making the playoffs. You should be able to make, you should make the playoffs, but to get a home game on top of that, I think is just a little bit too much.
Yeah, I agree.
Games that are tomorrow. I think this LCAP Patrick Henry game is going to be good, and Cal Preps thinks it's also going to be good. They got Patrick Henry as a 1-point favorite in a coin flip game against LCAP. They got him winning 31-30. I think LCAP can win this game. I think I got the Vaqueros in this one. It's going to be my first upset pick. Taking a 9/8 as an upset pick is, you know, I'm really going.
You're really going out there, man.
I really put myself out there. San Diego High hosting Santa Fe Christian. Santa Fe Christian's expected to win 38-13. Game might be closer than that, but I think Santa Fe, the fighting Drew Breeses, get the job done. Morse at La Jolla Country Day. La Jolla Country Day is expected to win by 2 touchdowns. I think they will do that, so I'll take the Tories. And then Valley Center goes out to Imperial. Imperial's expected to win by 1 point in this game. I can see them winning by more because of the travel. Despite Valley Center having a really good finish to the season, Valley Center beating Oceanside in the last game of the year to really kind of bump them up and gives them a what they consider a really great win as they knock off a team that was having a really good year in Division II. But I think a travel might be a situation where being the road team kind of hurts you
because of the travel. Yeah, I can see that.
I'm going to take LCAP. I'm going to take Santa Fe Christian. I'm going to take La Jolla Country Day, and I'm going to take Imperial.
Nice picks there. I'll roll with you on those. I think that sounds like a good trio of wins right
now. Not taking the Patriots.
Anything Patriots.
Mac Jones isn't their quarterback. You're all right.
No.
Let's move on to Division Two. I think Division Two is gonna be fun. I think you got a lot of good teams in Division Two, starting with the number one seed in the Del Norte Nighthawks. A great season for the Nighthawks. Came up one game short in their league. They lost to San Marcos league championship game last game of the year. But they go 8-2 in the first year of Nick Barnett. They went 3-0 against teams in Division Two this season. Got a nice little rating of a 31.9. 4-1 in league. That one loss was to a D1 school. Their other loss was to La Costa Canyon, another D1 school who actually has a bye. And they beat Torrey Pines. I know it was the first week of the year, but they beat Torrey Pines, who got the number one seed in Division One. So Del Norte, I think, is definitely the team to beat, obviously, as the number one seed. You look at the number two seed in Rancho Bernardo, a potential rematch between RB and Del Norte would be very interesting to see out in the Palomar League. Rancho Bernardo, of course, led by their head coach in Eric Weddle. And the reason why RB gets the two seed instead of La Jolla, RB beat La Jolla head-to-head. So La Jolla gets knocked down to the three seed in Division Two as an 8-2 team as well. I think La Jolla's got a really good chance of doing some damage. And then you look at Swift Ranch getting the four seed, another good football program in D2. But then you even got other good teams like Point Loma is a pretty good team sitting at the five seed, and they might give Scripps Ranch some problems in the quarterfinals. You got Central taking on Eastlake in the 6-11 matchup. Central Union is always a scrappy team that comes out of the Imperial Valley. Well, it'll be a long trip to La Jolla after a long trip to Eastlake, but that might be a team that could give La Jolla a run for their money. And then the Bishop School will host Brawley this weekend, and the winner of that will play Rancho Bernardo. I mentioned the 8-9 matchup, Oceanside and Steel Canyon. Steel Canyon, a team that was in Division One not too long ago, that has experience playing D1 schools, played Helix this year, played Granite Hills in league as well, and have played a pretty difficult schedule. In fact, they've played one of the better schedules in Division Two, and they're going against an Oceanside team that had a really good bounce back here at 6-4. Yes, they did lose the Valley Center last week of the year, but they were able to play a lot of tough teams. I mean, they play El Camino's a D1 school, played Mission Hills a D1 school, only lost by 14 in that game, played San Juan Hills in the southern section with some pretty good wins against San Pasqual. Santa Fe Christian and Westview. So another team that might be able to go on a little bit of a run. It's going to be a fun bracket. I think Del Norte is the favorite. And I like La Jolla to make some noise. And I wouldn't be surprised if Point Loma made the semifinals.
Yeah. You know, we got a couple of good storylines, like you said, the potential rematch between Del Norte and Rancho Bernardo. That's probably one of the candidates for game of the year, as far as how crazy that game was. But I'm with you, La Jolla. You know, if they get a shot at playing Rancho Bernardo again, you know, I can see the Vikings pulling off the win there and kind of spoiling that potential rematch. So you have a couple situations where you might get some rematches in these semifinals and finals, which makes it very exciting, you know, to see how the second, you know, game plays out between these a couple of these high schools. But I'm with you. I think Del Norte comes out on top, but I think they play the Vikings as the 3 seed for the final.
La Jolla is like really interesting to me because they, you know, they beat Scripps Ranch, which is their best win, which would be a win over a 4 seed. They ended up going 4-1 against teams in Division II. They went 4-0 in league, but like they have two bad losses. They got a bad loss to El Cap. They lost by 3 points. They got a bad loss to RB, which is their two bad losses, in which you're playing, you know, a team that's, you know, losing to a team that's well below your pay level or your pay grade. Or losing them by a lot, and they lost to Rancho Bernardo 20-6. So it's interesting to see what La Jolla team shows up. But if they are the team, you know, that beat Point Loma and Scripps Ranch and Bishops, you know, teams that are already in their respective division, then they're going to be a tough out in the Division II playoffs. It'll be a real tough out in the Division II playoffs. You know, taking a look at it. So I think Del Norte's got it, and then you know La Jolla would be my second top. Pick and don't sleep on Point Loma. I think they'll be in a pretty good spot. Let's take a look at a closer look at Division II Round 1 game. Steel Canyon at Oceanside. Steel Canyon is projected to win by 1 point, 27-26. I think Oceanside gets it done. Driving from Hamul to Oceanside is going to be a long journey. Steel Canyon's played a lot of good teams this year. I think it's going to be a close game, but I think Oceanside continues a nice bounce back season after a couple of low years there over the last couple of years. I think Oceanside wins this 1 point spread game.
That game is tomorrow.
I think so. I don't know of any teams. I don't know what teams played today. I'd have to.
I thought for some reason I thought they played today.
They could have,
because I was talking to a parent that played, her son plays on the school, and I swear she said they were playing tonight. But I might misread her.
Well,
it could.
I don't know the score anyway. Either way, I might as well pick it.
you were picking. Who did you pick again? You picked.
I picked Oceanside.
Right? Yeah. No. I mean, still. I mean, one thing still has going for them. They had played a tough schedule. I will say that they played some very good teams, but I'll go with Oceanside. Again, reiterating what you said, nice bounce back year after some rough couple years for them. So the fact that they find themselves in the playoffs, it's good for the program. So I do think they get the win on the first round win, and then they probably get bounced in the second round.
They just got to get themselves back to back to D1, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be a little bit of a project, but it's a step in the right direction. They don't have any games listed as a Thursday game, but I don't know. I mean,
okay,
take that for what it's worth in terms of like Max Preps coverage and Cal. I mean, Cal Preps, just them and Max Preps kind of like share a lot of information. So I don't know about that. I mean, I think it'd be kind of a tough ask to seed your playoffs on Sunday and then make somebody play on a Thursday. It doesn't look like anybody's playing today, which is, I think, the good move on CIS part. So I'm taking over to site. Point Loma at San Pasqual. Point Loma's projected to win 31-17. I like that pick. Central is expected to beat East Lake 21-12. The Titans going to make it to the next round of playoffs? What are you thinking here?
No.
You got Central?
Yeah, it's been
been a rough season for my Titans, and it's been they're a long way away from what they used to be, 5, 7, 8 years ago. But yeah, I don't see them. I mean, they did have a couple wins in the season, but I think Central gets them.
Brawley is playing Bishops at La Jolla High School, which is Bishops' home field. I will take Bishops over Brawley. They're favored to win 28-21.
Nice.
Any difference on that? It's kind of tough, dude. Cal Preps is
we're on line.
Cal Preps is pretty smart, so they usually are dialed in. A D1 playoff start tomorrow. Number one seed, the Torrey Pines Falcons, who under Scott Ashby has done a remarkable job taking over for Coach Robbie Collins. Coach Robbie Collins stepped aside for mental health reasons, and it sounds like he's doing a lot better now than he was at the beginning of the season, which is good to hear. So Ashby took over and led Torrey Pines to a pretty remarkable season in which they have seen him getting better and better each and every week, coming off of that week one loss to Del Norte. Because Torrey Pines beat Mission Hills, they flip-flopped, even though Mission Hills had a higher rating at 43.7. Torrey Pines, probably the favorite here in D1, but I really think this one's wide open with a lot of schools in the Avocado League that are seated in this particular division, mixed with some Western League schools that had some tough years, but had to play a very difficult schedule. And you got a couple of Palomar schools in there as well. It should be a fun bracket. I think this one's probably the most wide open, where you can't necessarily pick a winner off the top of your head. But Torrey Pines gets the one seed. Again, a great finish to the season. Number two seed is Mission Hills. They're always consistent there in the postseason for CIF. As you take a look at the top four here in the postseason. Five seed was St. Augustine, six seed was Cathedral, seven seed was San Marcos, eight seed was Modern Day. They play host to Madison. 10 seed was Poway. They'll be traveling to San Marcos. Ramona, the 11th seed, will play Cathedral, and Mira Mesa, the 12th seed, will play St. Augustine. I like Torrey Pines in this one as the favorite. I think Modern Day Catholic, though, could be a real challenge for them in the second round. Modern Day is getting better week after week, having to play some of the top teams in the county to start the year. I think it's really paid dividends. And Modern Day Catholic's a well-coached football team. They seem to be hitting their stride always in the second half. They might be a super dark horse as an 8 seed. St. Augustine's playing a lot better football to end the year. I could see them giving a run here with some of the Avocado League schools. I don't think they're going to have a problem near Mesa, but they could get La Costa Canyon. Never know what you're going to get out of Cathedral, Jeff. They got a lot of talent, and obviously with the schedule they played, they might be a team that can make a run, setting up for an interesting matchup potentially in Oceanside next week against El Camino. And then San Marcos won their league. They ended up winning the Palomar League, so they might be a threat to be reckoned with as well. Who is your favorite? Who's a couple of dark horses to watch out for?
Well, I would favor Torrey Pines based on how the season's played out up to this point, and I definitely would give them a nod. But I'm definitely looking at Madison and Modern Day as far as the first round matchup. You got that 8-9, and you did say as far as Modern Day goes, they come in with a lot of momentum. They finished season strong. Now, again, people were gonna sit here and be double advocate and say, hey, well, their league is kind of soft, and then they kind of just beat up on inferior competition. Going to be interesting to see how that plays out. Will they kind of will that show up, or will they rise to the occasion and not only beat Madison, but also will they give Torrey a run for their money in the second round? And potentially can. You got to remember, this is a two-time state champ, so they have championship pedigree. Even though a lot of those players are no longer there, the coaching staff is there, and there are a few players that were integral parts of that team. So they have that championship DNA, and so I will be curious to see. I still think they won't get by Torrey, but I definitely think they can make it a game. Madison last year, they were in the division. Weren't they division
Did they make it open division playoffs last year?
No, Madison?
No, not Madison. Sorry about that. But, you know, I had expectations from them. You know, they've been one of the premier teams in the county in the last, you know, 2 to 4 years. So can they kind of rebound and get something going in tomorrow against Modern Day? So that should be a good game. And like I said, you know, you got Mission Hills and you got a lot of good teams that can potentially, you know, make some noise. You know, like St. Augustine, they're a young team, but, you know, we've talked about them. I was high on them throughout the year and they've had a tough schedule. So Torrey is definitely the favorite, but, you know, there's about three or four additional teams that wouldn't shock me if they won.
So the game's tomorrow in D1. Again, Torrey, LCC, El Camino, and Mission Hills all have byes. Madison at Modern Day. Modern Day is projected to win 27-21. I think they win by more than that. Your thoughts?
27-21. Yeah, I think they win by 10. I give them 10 points.
Mira Mesa against St. Augustine at Mesa College. St. Augustine's projected to win 41-14. I think that's par for the course. I think Mira Mesa's, you know, they're probably going to get bounced to D2 next year. Kind of a tough season for them. I think Saints rolls in that game.
Agree with you, Doc.
Ramona's going to be at Cathedral. Cathedral's projected to win 35-22. I think the Dons probably handle that, but we'll see coming up tomorrow against the Bulldogs. And then Poway at San Marcos, rematch of a game earlier this season. San Marcos won 31-19. San Marcos is projected to win 31-19 over Poway. Earlier this season, in I think these two teams played each other already, if I'm not mistaken. And San Marcos won? No, they did not play each other. I thought they played each other this year. They did not. So it should be an interesting game between those two teams. I still think San Marcos wins that game over Poway.
Yeah, the Titans, a little different position than they were last year. Last year, they were getting ready to play for the open division, right? Semifinal game. And now they find themselves in D1. But yes, I think they're one and done tomorrow.
Graduate a lot of kids.
Yeah, tough spot.
That tends to happen. Open division starts next week. We got the top four seeds. I'm not going to spend too much time on it. We can talk about it next week. Lincoln's playing Helix. I think that's a great game. That game will be at 6 o'clock at Lincoln. Granite Hills will take on Carlsbad. That game will be at 7 o'clock on Thursday of next week. And that should be a good one as well. We'll talk about that next Thursday. Jeff, thanks again for joining us on the podcast. And enjoy the football weekend, my friend.
I will. It didn't go off to a great start with you. Your Horned Frogs lost.
Yeah, they're terrible. Their coaching staff is not good. They have absolutely zero heart. I mean, it's just kind of disheartening to watch.
Yeah, we should have known when they lost to the Fighting Deion Sanders.
Yeah, that was the season. That was already bad news. I mean, I was told like a lot of the success they had here was with Gary Patterson's guys. You know, and a lot of those guys left. The ones that are still there, not as, you know, into it. And then, you know, I guess the rumor is you got a bunch of kids that think they're going pro next year and just kind of coasting. And that's not a good way to go pro, is by coasting during the season. So they got a lot of issues. I think they got some coordinator issues, and we'll see what kind of adjustments they make during the off season. But really disappointing for a team that's incredibly talented to just have the season they've had. But they are not even close to the team that they were last year.
It's college football, man. The turnover, and you know, just makes you also appreciate the teams that can win year in and year out. So, yeah, rough times for them.
Yeah, we'll see what happens next year. Jeff, appreciate the time as always. Talk to you next week.
Sounds good, my man.
And have
a good one.
That'll do it for us on the High School Football Podcast. Sure, check us out wherever you get your podcasts and join us live on Spaces coming up next Thursday. For Jeff King, I'm Brady Sprint signing off. Thanks again for joining us on the High School Football Podcast here in San Diego on 97.3 The Fan.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.